You're listening to The Rush, Digging into Addiction here on WSKG. I'm Crystal Sirakis. Joining me in the studio is New York State Senator Tom O'Mara. Senator, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And John Barry with the Southern Tier AIDS Program is also with us today. John, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
So can I get your reactions to the piece that we just heard? And Senator, we can start with you.
Well, I certainly share the skepticism of the value of having a supervised injection site. I know it's been an issue that's been raised in Ithaca within the 58th Senate District that I represent. However, I have strong concerns as a former prosecutor myself that continuing to allow the use of illegal narcotics, supervised or unsupervised, is not the focus we should have. We certainly have a well-recognized heroin crisis across our state, and we should be doing everything we can to alleviate the use of narcotics and not encourage that by having a safe zone for someone to come and inject an illegal narcotic. You know, we worked very hard in the last 2 years in the legislature and trying to come up with ways to combat the heroin epidemic, and we've got, I think, a lot more to do before we get to the point where I think we seriously consider having an injection site. I haven't seen the huge groundswell of support throughout the district for that type of thinking, and have strong reservations in encouraging that.
John?
It's been an interesting discussion for me, because all the reservations and difficulties that people have with this idea are exactly the same difficulties that were voiced when we initially opened up our syringe exchange programs. People felt that it was going to worsen the drug problem, that it was going to lead to more crime, and the whole litany of things that you hear. People are going to move here so that they can more easily use drugs. None of those things have materialized. They have not happened. It's that straightforward and plain and simple. What I do hear is people saying that they are very, very concerned about people overdosing and dying. And I think if we are genuinely concerned about that, then there is an intervention that can prevent that. They are doing it in 100 different places, 66 cities, 10 different countries throughout the world, and have been for over two decades. This is not a new idea. There's nothing radical going on here. The focus is on assuring that people are safe, that they live long enough to quit using drugs. The push is to get them into treatment and to make sure that their basic needs are met.
Do you see that there is, though, a lot of concern from community members about this idea of giving people a place to shoot up in the community?
I think we've been so indoctrinated by 40 years of the war on drugs that we can't even think straight in this country about a rational approach to drug policy. One of the things that I've also been noticing as we have this discussion is even law enforcement officers are now saying we can't arrest our way out of this problem. And at the same time that they're saying that, you know, you look at county budgets. Broome County is an excellent example here locally. One of the only parts of our budget that went up this latest year was we are going to add on to the county jail and we're going to hire 13 new deputies. It's a failed policy. It has never worked. It continues to not work. And it is the most expensive way of dealing with the problem. And we have siphoned money off from treatment and prevention for decades. And now we are surprised that we don't have any money to use in those areas.
Senator?
I agree with John that law enforcement agrees as well that we cannot arrest our way out of this. I think there's a very strong new approach that we're seeing, and Broome County is a leader in that area with law enforcement working with the community to divert individuals caught for possession of narcotics into programs to get them directed towards getting off of their addiction. We certainly have seen an effort in the state budget, as I mentioned before, with increasing funding. We've got a long ways to go. We recently saw, I think it was 30 new inpatient beds opened in Tompkins County to aid with this. We've got a lot more to go with that, and I think our resources will be better directed at treatment services and other alternatives than continuing the use of narcotics in a safe zone. I think the fact that we're even talking about this certainly shows the extent of the problem that we have in our communities, and we're all grasping at ways to try to solve this. We don't want to see anyone overdosing and dying from the use of illegal narcotics, but there are plenty of treatment programs that we are going to have to open up. The increased funding will help that. It's not going to be an overnight problem, and it's a whole community effort it's going to take to solve this. But we have, I think, some new inroads with some alternative drugs to take, with Suboxone and Vivitrol, or even the old-fashioned methadone, to make those things more accessible.
Senator, the former district attorney of Tompkins County, Gwen Wilkinson, said at first that she called the idea insane at first, but she's since come around to it. What do you think about her change on this?
I haven't had a chance to talk to Gwen about her change. You know, Ithaca is unique in the Southern Tier Finger Lakes region for its progressive outlook on things. I can't say that I'm shocked that she came around and changed her opinion of that, but I haven't had an opportunity to talk to her. I have not seen the light, I guess you might say, Crystal, with regards to this. I haven't. And my reaction was similar to Gwen's. I don't think I used the word insane when I first heard about it, but I know I did a radio interview and thought it was a pretty outrageous idea. And since then, and it's been, at least 6 months now, I think, or longer since that was proposed, I have not heard of any groundswell of support through the 58th Senate District that I represent that people think this is a good idea.
The New York Times quoted you as calling it preposterous.
Yeah, that's not insane, but preposterous. I do recall using that word, yeah.
Well, is there anything that would make you take a second look at this?
I'm always open, and that's why I'm here today to discuss this with John and you on this. I think it's going to take a lot of community feedback for something like this to possibly be successful. It's going to have to take a huge buy-in from the community, and I think that we haven't done enough in our fight against the heroin addictions with conventional tools that we have through treatment, making more treatment available, and these alternative drugs to wean an individual off their addiction.
I want to take just a moment, Senator, putting your own personal views aside, to take us through what would have to happen in Albany to make this a legal option.
I'm not sure if it certainly would take change in state laws. And then you also have the federal laws on top of that. You know, we've seen the problems that we've had even with medical marijuana in the states that have opted to pursue that. And I was supportive of medical marijuana use because I think it has medicinal purposes. But, you know, we're seeing a reluctance even in that area on physicians, healthcare providers to even get involved with that because of concerns of the illegalities. So I really haven't thought through what the legalities would be because it's not a concept that I support. I know there are those legislators in Albany that there are some that have spoken out in support of this. So they'd probably be better choice to ask than myself at this point.
John, have you given this thought?
Oh, absolutely. In Canada, they essentially received a research exemption so that they could do this. And Insight was, operated temporarily. They were allowed to do it for, I think, a 2 to 3 year span. And then, they had to be sort of recertified, if you will. But they didn't go through a formal, clinical licensing process and those sorts of things. So I think it would, under the umbrella of, being kind of a research experiment, I think something like this could happen, and I think the Department of Health would certainly know how to go about that. I want to say just one thing, if I can, about treatment. We are fully behind people going to treatment at both of our syringe exchange programs. I think a lot of people know. We have dedicated staff that their entire job is to get people into treatment, to facilitate that entry. But here's the reality. 80% of the people that walk through the door to use the syringe exchange every day have been to treatment.
So what's not working?
I think that traditional treatment that does not use medication is not very effective at this point in history. I think programs that are based on the 12 steps, which is a good social support model, I don't think it's a great treatment model. If you had cancer and you went to your doctor's office and your doctor told you that he was going to use what was the state-of-the-art treatment 77 years ago, I think you'd have some serious questions about your physician's capabilities.
It seems when we talk about supervised injection sites that they are more about keeping people alive, not necessarily keeping them off of drugs. Is that true?
They're about a number of things. They're about teaching people how to inject properly so that they don't get things like heart infections. They're about talking to people about using safely, about reducing their drug use, about possibly going into detox or treatment. We certainly broach issues with them of, you know, do you have safe and secure housing? You know, are you eating correctly? You know, basic food, clothing, and shelter needs. We have support groups that meet. We offer people laundry facilities and a place where they can shower if that's a need. We are trying to prevent people from injecting next to a dumpster or in the library bathroom or in the local restaurant bathroom. You know, there's some really good things that can come out of this to make the community better and to help business owners. Because, look, nobody who's running a restaurant wants people shooting up in their bathroom. We don't want people injecting in the public library. And I will tell you, it happens. That's a problem, okay? We don't want injection materials bouncing around in the community. We want to be able to collect those and not have anybody exposed to them. We want to protect law enforcement and make sure that they're not getting stuck with needles. We want to have these folks access medical care. We're in the process of hiring some medical staff at our Ithaca location for just that purpose. Because again, we'd rather address it there much more cheaply, save the taxpayers money, rather than having that person be hospitalized or go to the emergency room.
I know that the legislature recently, you know, passed several attempts to correct some of these issues with laws and regulations. Did that go far enough?
I think we did. We did a large package of bills this year, and we did not quite as substantive, but a large package last year as well. And I think that it's a huge step in getting this going. I think we need to see where things shake out. But it's going to be a matter to have the dollars behind the initiatives that we're talking about. And that is, you know, some of the things we've done is to not allow insurance companies to require pre-approvals for certain inpatient stays at the outset or for certain types of medications such as the Suboxone to help. And those things go a long way. Certainly there's a lot of pushback from the insurance industry on that because when you add these types of things, that increases the cost of the insurance and what's being paid for, and everybody that's paying for insurance pays for that. I think this is truly a public health issue that insurances should cover these types of things, and it's never easy to try to get the buy-in from particularly the insurance industry to willingly go along with expanding these things. But I think we would certainly see savings on the back end by getting people off of their addictions and the social costs elsewhere.
John, anything to add here?
Yes. I think that the Senate and the Assembly have done an excellent job the last couple of years, and they've been very responsive, the governor as well. I think if we want effective treatment, we're going to have to do some work on targeting OASAS itself, the New York State Office of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services. My experience of them and many people's experience of them is that they are continuing to operate in a treatment model that is 30 to 40 years old, and they are resistant to changing things. And as a matter of fact, recently my organization looked into getting an OASAS license, crunched the numbers, and found out that we would probably be in the red and underwater if we chose to offer treatment based on the current reimbursement that's available. So I applaud the Senate and the Assembly for putting more money into long-term treatment and some of the other things that they have. But we need to do some work on the reimbursement models if we want more people to jump into the treatment provision game.
State Senator Tom O'Meara of Big Flats and John Barry of the Southern Tier AIDS Program, thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you for having us on.
Thank you, Crystal.